from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Maury with you. Brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Xavier Worthy is going to average 22.6 yards per touch this season. From the 785, glad I had my AirPods in for that on the come intro.
I'm glad you did too. I hope you enjoyed it. That was a lot of hard work went into that one.
On the come.
We got a text from a guy. I'm going in to play craps right now.
There you go.
Good luck to you, sir. Bet the come line.
Mm-hmm. Is that where that come from?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Learned how to play a couple weeks ago.
You
really
did?
Fun, yeah.
Oh, so you finally start playing a little craps. Now you get it.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah,
it's
yep.
Very
I was like,
complicated.
Okay, that's where Bob got it. Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
We go from playing a little craps to let's play a little start bench cut.
Here's Fesco, Dusty, and Mac with this week's edition of Start Bench Cut.
Now that one you didn't need your AirPods, and you could have played that max volume in a library and just got a shush. Start bench cut this week, Mac, is where you lead us up and we try to take over and tell you where we would start bench and cut. What do you have for us to start, Mac?
Going to the college ranks here today. Top three teams in college football. At three are your Buckeyes, Bob.
Yep.
Then the Longhorns. And then, of course, Georgia at number one. Now I need you, just 2 weeks into college football season, to start bench cut those three top teams.
All right, I'm going to start Ohio State.
Obviously.
I'm going to bench Georgia, and I'm kicking Texas to Ooh. The curb. That's a fraud.
Wow, okay, I love it.
I don't really see how they're a fraud. I mean, they just went into Michigan and won easily.
How good is Michigan? They lost their coach.
Mm-hmm. Defending national champions?
Yeah, it just doesn't ring the same. Just, it didn't feel like the same Michigan team. Mac, you're kind of shaking. No, like it just didn't, like...
No, it's not the same, yeah. But it's still a road game.
Yeah, like it's a tough environment. Don't get me wrong.
At a conference.
Yeah, no, it's a big win.
Second week of the season.
Yeah.
How did Kansas fare at Illinois?
Not good.
I just think it's a little bit like, remember when
But
Colorado...
I didn't think Kansas... Like, every year Texas we're told is going to be good, and every year they go 6-5.
Yeah. Colorado beat TCU, and it was like, oh, they went to the national championship.
Yeah,
like, that wasn't
right.
The same TCU team. I think it's a little bit the same with
Right. I'm really interested to see what Texas is going to do in the SEC when they play some of these you know, big boys, like the Oklahomas of the world.
Oh. Well, you get that in 2 weeks.
Okay. Just means more. Dusty, start bench cut, Georgia, Texas, Ohio State.
I'm going to start Georgia because of the obvious. They are the reigning supreme. I know that they didn't win it last year, but Georgia's always going to be great because of what they've done with Kirby Smart. I'm going to bench Texas and cut Ohio State.
Same here.
Yep.
That's it. I'm going to go with the rankings, 1, 2, 3, exactly like that. Start Georgia. I think, you know, we had Nick Saban for the last 20 or so years. I think there's a good chance Kirby Smart's that next guy in college football. There's only usually one or two at the same time. I think Kirby's
well,
that
who
guy.
Who else could be on that list,
exactly.
Really, when you think about it? Like, the reason we're losing these legends in coaching is because they're not dealing with the NIL. Mm-hmm. They're done. They're we used to do this ourselves, and now everybody can do it. I'm out. So I don't blame these guys. All these big-time coaches are going to be gone. But it also depletes college sports. We've lost basically all the good coaches in college basketball, with the exception of Bill Self and Tom Izzo. We basically lost all of the good coaches in college football right now that we've come accustomed to learning. I'm interested to see if we're going to have these legends of coaching, or are we going to get these coaches that just get burnt out all the time because of the NIL? And how recruiting has changed, because are you spending time recruiting freshmen anymore to come to your program? Are you spending more time recruiting sophomores and juniors at other programs to come to your program? Like, there's a lot going on, and I just think a lot of these coaches are going to get, I'm out of this business for now.
I also just think that there are some that understand it and some that clearly don't.
For sure.
I think that there are two different types of coaches now. There are two that understand the transfer. There's one that understands the transfer portal, and there's one that understands the NIL deals. Guys like Deion Sanders have yet to figure out either one, which you would think that he would understand, like, the NIL deal. He'd be like, hey, you want to make money, you want to be a stud, you want to have
a, kids, he's understood how to do that.
And then there's guys like Lance Leipold who have figured out the transfer.
Yeah.
He's figured out, hey, your sort of talent will work here, where we'll be a decent team, you'll play, whatever. And then there's guys like, you know, Eli Drinkwitz in Missouri, who has the NIL deal figured out. He's got the donors giving random, like, $60 million overnight to the Mizzou athletic department. Then all of a sudden, he's going out and getting the top recruits in his own state. He's going to St. Louis. He's recruiting in Texas. He's recruiting in Oklahoma. And he's getting NIL deals. He's getting kids to come to Missouri. Guys like Saban and guys like Dabo Swinney and guys that are just like, I'm over it, which I don't mind Saban calling it quits or hanging it up because of, you know, other circumstances. That's fine. That happens in professions. But guys that just don't want to try and didn't ever really have the longevity that guys like Saban had, like Heupel at Tennessee. We'll see if he can continue to be doing he's doing, right? Great coach, seems to understand the NIL deal, seems to know how to sell Tennessee's product, and has been doing good. But to me, the fact of the matter is that if you're just going to comp out and be like, oh, I just don't like the way the game's changing, to me, that's a lazy rhetoric to have towards college football.
Are you talking about Dabo Swinney in that one?
All of that, yeah. Like, just to be like, oh, it's just, it ain't about money. Yes, it
no,
is.
No, it is. It's all about money.
Because if it's not about money, then why is your contract so egregiously high?
Well, that's the question. They don't want to answer that.
The student section isn't coming to watch your khaki ass run down a hill at 100 miles an hour to hope for you slide on your face.
But that's why these guys are getting out, because all that money that used to be redirected towards them, they can see that ending, because if you don't have the players, well, then you're not going to have an opportunity to win, and other schools are paying other players, and that's taking money away from what they want. They wanted to hoard all the money for all these years like they were doing. It was a broken system that the aristocrats at the top of college sports were taking advantage of. And now that that program or that mode got all blown up, they don't like it so much. And so they're quitting and they're leaving and they're moving on, which, again, I'm fine with. But don't sit there and tell me that you left coaching because you were old and it was time to retire. You left because the playing field is even now and you like being a bully. And you don't have the opportunity to bully people around anymore, so you took your ball and went home. I mean, that's just the way to simplify that as much as possible. But I also wonder, too, who are these people that are donating this kind of money to college athletics? Like, what do you get out of that?
Tax write-off?
No, you don't anymore.
Oh, you don't?
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
You don't anymore. That's the thing. They closed that loophole some 5-6 years ago.
We still have some fun friends on the text line. Marvin Harrison Jr. will finish his first season with 17 receptions for 68 yards and 0 touchdowns. Might have been a little premature to put him on the Hall of Fame.
Well, he's playing with Kyler Murray and not Patrick Mahomes.
Let's do another start bench.
Let's
do Royals rotation.
Love it.
Lugo, Reagans, Waka. Mac?
I'm going to start Reagans. I'm gonna bench Waka. I'm gonna cut Lugo.
Whoa!
I don't feel great about it.
Whoa! A possible Cy Young candidate, which I understand your logic.
Yeah,
you're keeping Reagans because of what he's been.
Mm-hmm.
You're cutting Lugo because you're worried about the arm.
Yep.
And you're benching Waka because of his October presence.
Exactly right.
Bob?
All right, I am starting Lugo because he's the veteran guy, Cy Young Award candidate.
Mm.
I am starting him. I'm benching Cole Reagans, and then I'm cutting Michael Waka.
Okay.
This is tough.
That's a hard one.
I'm starting Reagan's benching Lugo and cutting Walker.
Gotcha. So same
And same as Bob. But the reason I say that is because I'll give you a little bit of you got to ride with your guys that have been there all year. Walker's been great the last 2 months. I totally get that. But if you put a gun to my head and said you can take two pitchers into the postseason for the Kansas City Royals, who do you take? I'm immediately going to say Reagan's and I'm going to say Lugo.
Starting pitcher, because if you were to say like you can only take two pitchers, probably going to go Lugo and Ursig.
No, I'm still going Reagan's and Lugo, because I would just let Lugo go eight and let Reagan's pitch the ninth.
Okay,
he'd be a good ninth inning guy.
Yeah,
that's a tough one.
So you guys both started. We all started Reagan's.
No, I'm starting Lugo with the veteran presence. I'm gotcha. Benching Reagan's and I'm cutting Waka.
And you the same, Dusty?
Yep.
So I'm the only one who started Reagan. Okay. Yep. Gotcha.
Yep. Yep. No, I said start Reagan's.
Oh, okay.
Sit Lugo.
Oh, okay.
Cut
okay.
Waka.
Okay.
I love the left-hander. I think Cole Reagan's is potentially one of the best top three pitchers in baseball. And he's coming off two Tommy John surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't need to see. Now, if we could add MacArthur, Schreiber, and Anderson. Is there a starter in there anywhere?
Who?
Exactly.
I know who I'm cutting.
Yeah. All of them.
McSucky suck.
Oh, my. That sounds like it costs money.
James can't pitch here again.
Wrong answers only. What should McCartney? No, I'm just kidding. Royals in action again tonight. They'll play the Yankees in game two. That pregame starts here on 96.5 The Fan with Vern's On Deck show at 5 o'clock. First pitch in the Bronx at around 6:10. Last night, Twins loss, Orioles loss, Royals loss, Red Sox finally won a game, and the Yankees obviously beat the Royals, and the Cleveland Guardians beat the worthless Chicago White Sox. Lugo is scary lately. Wait, from the 479. James Earl Jones played Simba's dad? I thought that was voiced by Tony the Tiger.
It was.
Is James Earl Jones Tony the Tiger?
Maybe.
Did you ever see him?
They're great. Sounds just like him.
Kind of an underrated cereal, to be honest with you. Coming up on the other side, we go back and talk about what Eric Hosmer had to say, because he gave us a really cool Jerod Dyson story that I want to play for you guys all over again. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. 913-586-7965. If you missed any of the show, please feel free to go to the Odyssey app and you can find all the great stuff that we have put on there for you. If you missed it, this was Eric Hosmer who joined the show earlier. By the way, every once in a while we'll get like a Richard fan. By the way, Richard of the Week, Friday. 913-586-7965. Feel free to nominate your Richards throughout the week. We had a couple this week, today, actually. One guy also on the text line said, you do realize it's Chiefs season. Why are we promoting a season that happened 10 years ago?
Well, because in about 43 minutes, the documentary that Eric Hosmer put together with the Royals on the 2014 season is dropping at Royals.com. And we like to reminisce, especially about fun things.
Especially if it's like a milestone year, like a decade.
Yeah.
And it's the Royals are about to play baseball in October. So technically it's Chiefs season, but it's also still Royals season. Ask Eric Hosmer about what he sees in Bobby Witt Jr. and the tenacity and the tenaciousness that he has when it comes to maybe being a playoff guy.
I just think he goes the way he goes about his business just year in and year out. You know, people always say you find out a lot about somebody when they're struggling. And in my eyes, for baseball, you find out more when the guy's having success, especially in Bobby's situation. He just got a huge contract. He's coming off that. He's coming off an all-star game appearance back home in Texas. But the main focus and all he talks about is winning. So the makeup, the character, it's the reason why you give a guy like Bobby the amount of money they did and you invest in him to run and be the guy that leads your franchise, because winning is all about is all in his mind. And in a day and age for kids his age, honestly, we say kids, it's hard to make winning the main thing. You know, everything's so individualized, but Bobby has that old school soul when it comes to being a teammate and wanting to win.
Love to hear that line from Eric Hosmer, who joined the show earlier today. If you missed it, the full interview is on our Odyssey app, which is under Fesco and Dusty. The Royals' magic number is now 13 to clinch that playoff spot. But you love to hear that from a guy like Eric Hosmer, who was also built for, I think, postseason baseball, built for a locker room. And you hear wise beyond his years, and it's been somebody who's been on his podcast talking about baseball, talking about being that guy on a team. Look, I'm excited for playoff baseball in Kansas City, and I'm excited to see where Bobby Witt Jr.'s game escalates in that sort of situation, where it kind of takes that next step up to where, like, there's only, you know, I don't know, 10 teams playing in the opening weekend, and Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be one of those players playing on one of those teams in the opening weekend, barring they don't win the division against Cleveland, which is still out there and able in an arm's reach to get. But let's say he plays the opening weekend. We already saw the billboards for Fox this week. It's MVP versus MVP when it came to Judge and Bobby Witt Jr. Jeff Passan tweeted out, hey, we got two of the best players in the sport right now going up against each other. And Bobby Witt Jr. hearing that from Eric Hosmer gives me a lot of hope to know that, yeah, this season's been great. But the little nuggets he puts in there, look, the guy got paid. He didn't have anything to prove because he already proved it, but he's still going out there and proving it. You love to hear that, and you love to see it from Bobby Witt Jr.
Well, I just think the postseason is so much bigger for Bobby Witt Jr. than it is for the Royals as an organization, because Bobby's going to finally be able to be on that national stage. And as we know with baseball, unless you play in New York or L.A. or with the Cubs, nobody really pays attention to you from a national standpoint, right? And most of America has missed what Bobby Witt Jr. has been doing, you know, all season long. And last night he had a great moment where, you know, he scored on a muffed, you know, pop-up or whatever it was, and, you know, hustled his way around the bases and scoring from first on that, but that was about it that he did last night. You'd like to see him play big, you know, in these games against the Yankees, being on that national stage. I was reading something again this morning. MLB.com had it, you know, the two top MVP candidates are going head to head. Neither one really did a whole heck of a lot last night that you're like, oh, wow, that was really MVP in of them. You'd like to see Bobby Witt do some stuff like that on the big stage, because it does matter. Like baseball's that sport where you can go out there and throw five touchdowns in a soccer stadium in your first game as a starting quarterback in the NFL, and you take off and everybody's in love with you. But in baseball, you've got to do it in October. You have to do it on the national stage. And when the Royals make the postseason, Bobby Witt needs to play big, and then everybody will know Bobby Witt Jr. And I think for baseball, the Royals making it into the postseason and Bobby Witt being on that stage is good for the game. I think Bobby Witt Jr. is a player that Major League Baseball should want to love up and promote and say, look, this is a kid that plays in Kansas City, and our small market teams know how to develop and draft players. Like, he should kind of be that poster child for what this era of Major League Baseball is all about, where everybody thinks it's the Yankees and Aaron Judge. It's good to show that, hey, the Royals and Bobby Witt Jr. can do some good things as well. And so when he makes it into the playoffs, I hope they hype the hell out of Bobby Witt Jr. And I hope his performance in the playoff, you know, is equal to, if not greater than, the hype that I think he should get for being in the postseason.
I thought he had a play last night where there was the miscommunication behind first base and right field that dropped between.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, where that's you know, like you said, like that's one of those plays where he and Ellie De La Cruz are the only two people that make that play.
Yeah.
I think there's one of two people, and that's because they're the two fastest and most aware on the base pass. The other thing that's great about old teams and old stories are how, like, you can kind of put yourself in that situation. Like, when you hear this story that I'm about to play that Hosmer told about Jerod Dyson, can you not put yourself in that situation where you kind of feel yourself in that same area?
The one funny story that we bring up in there, you know, we won the wild card game and 14 and we get on a plane, go right to LA to play Anaheim for the next series, and it's the middle of the night. We get into Anaheim about 5-6 in the morning, and Raul Ibanez, who we're talking about, he's on, you know, the family bus, and all the guys are on with him and his son and a couple of his kids, and one of his babies, a newborn, kept crying. So Raul gets up and goes to the back of the bus and just sits in the bathroom and locks himself in there. And about a minute after, we're like, man, he's in the bathroom, what's he doing? So we open the door and realize he was trying to be quiet for everybody. And the baby's crying. Jerod Dyson just says, man, give me that baby. And he starts rocking the baby on his shoulder for about 10 seconds, and the baby falls right asleep. And it was just one of the funnier moments of something that happened off the field.
During that team, where does Jerod Dyson rank for, like, one of your favorite players on that roster?
Well, I don't think he was one of the best players on that roster, but he filled such a not a need, but he just completed the roster. He brought that whole thing together. Like, that was the dude who was loved by everybody inside that locker room, gave you the comic relief that you needed, gave you a stolen base when you needed it here or there. Like, he's one of those glue guys that we talk about all the time in sports. Like, you're not winning a world championship or doing as well as you did in 2014 without Jerod Dyson on that roster. Does he put up the stats? No. But man, you know the value that Dyson has to this team. And you know, that's why when we talk about like Will Smith, like, should he be on the postseason roster? Hell no, he shouldn't be on the postseason roster. But what he means to that team, and you hear guys talk about it all the time, how he's getting them ready down in the bullpen, you add those intangibles into the mix. And that to me is what Dyson was all about. He was kind of that intangible guy, that glue guy, that kind of that final piece to the puzzle that brought that whole thing together.
He just did a good job of, like, I don't know, humanizing himself with the fan base and also the locker room. Like, you know, obviously doing the Mr. Zumbaya celebration, like, got Billy Butler to do it. You know, the biggest guy on the team that didn't have really a role. Like, you talk about people not making playoff rosters. Billy Butler had, what, a base hit. They got an RBI, scored a run, and had the stolen base. And that was really all we saw for Billy Butler ever again.
Yeah.
But it is interesting to, like, know what Dyson's role was, because from what I hear from Vern and guys that were around that team, that was Dyson's locker room. And then in 2015, it was Hosmer's locker room.
Yeah, Hosmer took over that thing, yeah.
And that's what you love to see, like, a guy that, you know, is in control, but he's not upset if, like, someone else comes along and it's like, I'm going to hand the keys off to this guy.
Well, Dyson also, too, I mean, like, if you take Dyson out of that locker room, they probably don't do as well as they did. Like, and that's why when we're sitting here saying this guy sucks or this guy blows, get rid of this guy, how do we know what he's contributing inside that locker room to those intangibles that are still, I think, very important for a lot of these Major League Baseball teams? It's why they did not cut Will Smith. It's why they didn't send him out the pasture, and maybe why they don't cut a guy like MacArthur. I'm just throwing a name out there that we want cut this morning. Like, there's reasons why you keep those guys around. And it's some of those intangibles that they bring to the table that only if you're on that inside do you understand why that guy's still here, right? Like, why is this guy still here? He must be doing stuff behind the scenes that this organization feels valuable enough to keep a roster spot for him.
And I would also, again, not trying to pick a fight or have a debate, that's exactly the reason why I wouldn't bring in a guy like Trevor Bauer. He just doesn't know the inside from the outside. Like, he just doesn't know what, and that's what I think.
And I can totally understand that. Yeah. But from a baseball standpoint, by God, man, like.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the thing that's the similarity, because I think we will always do this as a test of time. Like, when and if the Chiefs go, like, on a later run in Mahomes' career, and there's similarities to the two teams or the two different, like, eras, people be like, oh, this team, and like, this guy reminds me of Travis Kelce, and this guy reminds me of, like, when we had blah, blah, blah as a receiver, or, you know, whoever on the defense. That's what these, to me, this team and that 14 team, the similarity that they have is, like, the togetherness and the way that this team is all, it, like, it took a week for, like, Tommy Pham and Grossman and all those guys to feel a part of this, because the veterans and the leaders of this team made them feel a part of it. Now, big hits, big defensive plays help with that. Production can always, like, kind of leapfrog your existence into a new program. And I think that that's why there's a lot of, well, this team reminds me of 13's team. Well, 13's team wasn't a playoff team. 13's team was a, you know, you finished above 500, you were showing promise, here we go. 14's team was a playoff team because they got together more as a team and a cohesive unit. And I think that's what you're seeing. And yes, it sucked when Vinny Pasquantino went down. They lost 7 games straight. Bobby Witt Jr. comes out the next night. It's like, hey, I'd rather have this happen now than in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Letting everyone know that this team is thinking about and only concerned with playoff baseball.
Well, that's the way they should be concerned about it right now. I do like this text from the 816. The 13 to 15 teams were so much fun. They were family. This 24 team is a better team, but doesn't seem as close. And I totally get what you're saying. I was actually having a conversation with somebody yesterday about the difference between this era of Royals baseball and that last era of Royals baseball. I don't get the same buy-in from the fan base that I did in 14 and 15 with the Royals. And I think a big part of that is obviously what's going on with the Chiefs. I think everybody is so heavily focused on the Chiefs that this Royals team just came up and kind of surprised everybody. And I still think is surprising people, because baseball is one of those sports where if you don't plan on your team being good and then they get good, I think a lot of people have a tough time getting to that party, you know, at the end of the year, like, oh yeah, we were pretty good. They have a hard time, like, accepting it back into their lives because they wrote it off at the beginning. Football's different, man. Everybody believes they can win all the time in football, and that's just a crazy sport in and of itself, and it's only one time a week. This run right now just doesn't have the same feel to me as we did in 13, 14, and 15, and I think that's because that was our first real taste at success in this town when it came to either of our teams for our generation. Nobody experienced 1969 and 85 and all that crap, right? That was the first experience and first taste that we had. I just don't get the same feel from the fan base that we had in 13, 14, and 15 where people were living and dying and breathing everything Royals.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's different because they had waited so long to get to that point.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And you know what else hurts? Their terrible TV deal sucks.
Yeah. No, that for sure.
I mean, people are not living and dying with this team every single night from that perspective, right?
No, and to piggyback it off of what you just said without being the thanks for listening is, yeah, you think about what 2012 was for the Kansas City Chiefs. Probably the worst year in franchise history for the Kansas City Chiefs. You look at what it had been for the Royals. They hadn't had really a great season since, what, 08?
The Royals?
Yeah, 08 was like they were 500.
No, 03.
It was 03. And then 09 was the Greinke Cy Young year.
Right.
So you had individualism in 09. You had 03, which was the 81 and 81.
83 and 79.
Or whatever it was. And then that was it. And then that was it. Yeah. 2012 was like the worst year to be a Chiefs fan.
Right.
2013, still no promise.
Right.
Andy Reid comes along in 2014.
And in 13 was that first year Reid was there. They made the playoffs. The Royals fell that short of the playoffs that year, right? And so people were kind of into that. Really weren't into the Chiefs at that point.
Yeah.
And then obviously, you know, 14 and 15 happened, and then, you know, the rest happened, and the Chiefs got good, and here we sit. But, like, I think, like, just a friend of mine asked me the other day, what do you attribute that to? I said, I think the TV deal with people not being able to know how to visually watch the Royals, even though it's very simple to visually watch the Royals, you give people hoops to jump through, charge them an extra fee. They're out, and that's kind of where it is right now. I just don't feel the same type of, like, buy-in and excitement and, wow, here we go. And we've got 16 games left of the regular season, and this team is going to the playoffs, and I just don't get that feel around town that we're accepting this as a playoff team.
Let me ask you this. Do you think playoff baseball is a lot like March Madness? Like, do you think a lot of people are like, oh, yeah.
Well, baseball,
like,
doesn't matter until the playoffs?
Right, because there's so many games, you already know the picture. Like, you know, I think you would, obviously, the magic number's 13, that the Royals are going to clinch a playoff spot.
Right, yeah.
They're going to play playoff baseball.
Right,
It's all but been decided.
Right, yeah.
So you have already got it in your mind. I've been exhausted as a fan following this team all summer. Now I know they're going to be a playoff team. Let's get to where it matters, where everybody has the same record, and then boom. Everybody's on TV. They're on Fox, TBS, TNT, ESPN, MLB, whatever it is. And kind of like college basketball, where it's like, well, nothing matters until the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah, nothing matters in college basketball, the March. The rest of it is all nonsense, especially if you know that you're, like, if you're Kansas, right? Like, you know you're going to be playing in March.
Right.
The rest of the season doesn't mean diddly-poo. The Royals this year, though, the regular season did matter because you didn't know that they were going to be a playoff team. We thought they'd be better. We didn't expect them to be this good this year. But it doesn't feel like people, like, jump on. Like, there's in my opinion, and the feedback that, you know, we get obviously tends to be a little bit more negative than positive at times, but it seems to me more people were spending time telling us why they thought the Royals couldn't, as opposed to embracing why they can and why they're winning. And in 14 and 15, clearly, and maybe at the end of 13, we were all believing that they're going to win every single night. Now I feel like people are, and maybe it's because people predicted them not to be good and they don't want them to be good, but I feel like everybody's waiting for this other shoe to drop for this team instead of being on board and trying to catch that shoe as it falls. Like, it just doesn't feel like the fan base is as bought into this version of the Royals as we were a decade ago.
Moving on from the Royals to the other team in the parking lot, the Kansas City Chiefs, Justin Reed had this to say about his biggest opponent.
Honestly, I don't think that anyone has a shot with this as long as we're playing our form of ball. Like, really. I think that our biggest enemies will be ourselves and staying true to the process, never relaxing, never taking the foot off the pedal, and just keeping everyone as healthy as possible so that we can go into the postseason ready to go. But I think as long as we keep ourselves into the game, don't think that anything will be given to us, I don't think anyone can really challenge us.
You know, I think when you hear Justin Reed say that, it just hits differently than Bob Fesco saying that, because people ask all the time, well, how do you think the Chiefs are going to be this year? And I said 17-0. And they say, okay, now be serious. I go, who on the schedule do you think is going to beat the Chiefs? And then everybody kind of goes game by game, and they get down to the end. They're like, well, sir, maybe 17-0. Like, And then I said, the only team that's beating the Chiefs are the Chiefs. I don't think there's a team in the NFL that is good enough from top to bottom to beat the Kansas City Chiefs in a one-game playoff, however you want to describe it, right? Somebody will, because that's just the way the league works. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel there's another team out there that is better than the Chiefs. And Justin Reed, I think, is 100% right. The only way that this team loses games is when they lose games, when they throw an interception, or when they drop an interception, or when they don't convert in the red zone, or whatever the case may be. I think the only reason the Chiefs lose games in this era is because of what they do, not because another team is out there inflicting some sort of harm or ill will on them.
I do think that's a fair take, because to me, the loss against Cincinnati in the AFC Championship game was Mahomes' worst second half of his career.
Yeah.
No secret. I don't think Cincinnati, they still only won by 3 points. Mahomes was in that God mode kind of play in the first half, and in the second half, it kind of just fell short after the play was foregone loss at the end of the first half, where they didn't get any points. And you could hear, if you go back and look at the audio, Tyreek Hill was clearly upset. Tyrann Mathieu, I believe, was upset in that locker room as well. And then it just kind of had a divide. The Patriots lost in the AFC Championship game, which are two of three of the losses of Patrick Mahomes' career in the playoffs. You look at that loss, and it's the rules change. So what if Mahomes does get the ball in the second, after Brady touches it? What if we do have another reenactment of last year's Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
Things should be different, right? We may not see the Chiefs lose that game because the rules change 2 years later.
But what if Mahomes scores a field goal, at least in the first half? People forget they were blanked in that first half, and he took a bad sack at the end to knock him out of field goal range.
And the thing that's crazy the most is that that's the biggest opponent you have is yourselves.
Right.
And I trust somebody in Justin Reed to say that because of his knowledge of the game and where he's at, because we know his first year when he was here and Cincinnati was chirping and doing all that sort of thing, he was going on X and talking or Twitter and saying stuff back. And then Andy Reid's like, yeah, we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, it's just been like, all right, we'll let the other team talk. And this was Ja'Marr Chase. I know it's kind of hard to hear everything that's being asked to him in the locker room, but just kind of really not doing what a good teammate should do and blaming the coach and just the way he's, delivering it.
I'll just say turnovers, man. That was the biggest thing today, was turnover. Turnover battle, what we lost.
You feel like you were getting open and having great
when there's a shooting? I had
opportunities. Did you think the game plan was any different today because of your limited practice time?
You got to ask Zach.
How would you describe the alpha relationship at this point after everything that happened?
Who? It's still the same.
Are you feeling better? It came out that you were sick yesterday.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little better. I'm about to get another IV.
What happened?
Excuse me?
Did you get sick?
Food poisoning.
Yeah. What percentage would you put yourself at today going up? How did you feel?
It doesn't matter. I played, bro. Don't matter.
You saw the reason why the offense came out so flat.
I feel like we always start like that. You know what I'm saying? Especially the first game of the year. I feel like we should do better by that, by now, especially.
But even being flat, though, you feel like it seems like y'all talk about it once, only to come out that same way again, the same way y'all do see it for so many years. Like, why do you think y'all have to put your finger on it and fix that issue?
I don't know, man.
So there's a few things. Obviously, that locker room is in shambles right now. You're getting ready to play the cream of the crop that is the Kansas City Chiefs, and yet you're out here telling the media to ask Zach, their head coach.
That's right. I like it.
Ja'Marr Chase gets cringier and cringier. Look, I think Ja'Marr Chase is a top five wide receiver in the NFL. I think he's a stud, but I think that his attitude, his demeanor, and all that sort of thing is a way to not really go about it. When your team is when their back's against the wall, you're going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. I think if they were to lose the Kansas City Chiefs and go 0-2, by week six, they're 3-2.
Because
after their first two games, it's almost easy street. And a lot of people thought, hey, we'd be 4-1 to start the season. Well, now you've got to fight like hell to go into Arrowhead and actually try to beat the Kansas City Chiefs where, yeah, you've done it, but can you do it again and can you continue to prove that you're there? Because right now, the quarterback's in the strat, the wide receiver 2 is not playing, and the wide receiver 1 had food poisoning and had 6 targets in his first game and didn't play any sort of preseason football, didn't play any sort of training camp. Yes, I know he went to college with Joe Burrow. Yes, I know they're good friends, but there's something about on-field reps and in-season reps that you have to have, and it showed clearly that they weren't ready, and he just hits another hammer or another nail on the head where he says, yeah, we always do bad in week one. Why? Are you guys not together by then? Is this a coaching thing? Seems like Cincinnati moving into Kansas City week is just in the right position if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, and in the absolute wrong position if you're the Cincinnati Bengals.
Well, I think what we see with Ja'Marr Chase and the Cincinnati Bengals is a team that's focused on me and not we. I mean, it's pretty evident. I mean, it's really, really fortunate that we have the Chiefs have this mindset of we and not me. And that, look, that starts, you can say, with Andy Reid, but it really starts with Patrick Mahomes. He is the true leader when it comes to the players inside that locker room. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that kind of sets the tone that, hey, man, if you guys want to get paid, you're going to have to go to Miami and hope not to get arrested, right? Like, that's kind of the situation right now. Guys in Kansas City know they'll be taken care of, mm-hmm. and they know they'll have an opportunity to win, and they see that the quarterback is taking less money than he could make on the open market every single year. And if the quarterback, the greatest player that maybe this game has ever seen, is taking less money and doing things to make sure that the roster is fully supported, then guys are going to buy into that. The guys are going to want to be part of that. And you have to have the right mix of player and person to create this atmosphere here in Kansas City. And that's why I say every morning when you wake up and you're kind of reminiscing about what we're watching and what we're living through, enjoy every damn day of this, because this is not normal that we're seeing here. This is as abnormal as it gets in professional sports. Ja'Marr Chase is more normal than the Kansas City Chiefs are. The Kansas City Chiefs are very abnormal in all this.
No doubt about it. Mac Maury, Pop Fesco, Dusty Likens, you're listening to 96.5 The Fan. Coming up on the other side, we pay our respects, and Bob has a message for you. This is 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Final segment here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Mac Maury, Dusty Likens, and Bob Fesco. The top text, I can't read it in complete, but it's 913. Ja'Marr Chase is just a blank.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He just seems like a guy that no matter the situation is just never going to be happy, right?
I do love this text, too, from the 913. Chiefs players respect their coach and call him Coach Reed. Chase calls this guy Zach.
Yep.
I mean, sometimes they'll say Andy, but they don't say it in like that disgruntled way.
Zach.
Like, I don't know. You have to go ask Andy.
Ask Zach.
Is he a bad teammate or is he an angry teammate? And is there a difference?
Oh, I think there is. I think if you're angry, that like somebody's mood around you kind of affects your mood, right? And if Ja'Marr Chase is being a negative Nancy, that's going to affect a lot of people inside that locker room, right? Like, you can't let your personal stuff get in the way. But I understand it. It's the NFL. These guys get cut all the time. They get screwed out of money like it's nobody's business. And so they're all very protective on this. And that's a secret little problem with Major League Baseball versus the NFL. In Major League Baseball, guys don't complain about their contract, right? Every once in a while, they complain about service time and getting that squashed. Mm-hmm. That's few and far between. In baseball, you've got all these guaranteed contracts. The players are going to get their full portion of that money. They don't have to hold out and you know, risk their team because they're not getting paid. But again, it's all guaranteed money. I don't want it to be all guaranteed money in football, but I understand why the football player is that way at times, because they know at any moment they could be making $1 million a year to be nothing in a matter of seconds if an organization wants to move on from you. And I think that's created a lot of animosity with players and owners in the NFL. I think it's the biggest kind of hurdle in the game right now. How are we going to deal with these contracts going forward and making sure that guys are getting paid, but also to making sure guys are getting taken care of and it's not developing into a Hassan Reddick situation or a Chris Jones situation or a Ja'Marr Chase situation?
God, I love that Ja'Marr Chase on the Chiefs. You say no?
I'm good.
Okay.
Whiny. He'd be a problem here, too. You can book that.
I don't know that he would be a problem here, though. The Chiefs, seemingly, if you're a problem, they send you to Miami.
Well, that's where they'd send him, because he'd be a problem.
I think once you get into this culture and see the way that this operates, either you're going to participate or you are going to be on your way
out. You're out.
I'd like to see what Ja'Marr Chase can do here. I'd be more than willing to give it an opportunity And if it doesn't work, then you send him to Miami.
Somebody says, should I trade Ja'Marr Chase in fantasy? Yes, you should go try to get Jahmyr Gibbs.
Ooh, okay. I like it.
Because I would do that on both ends. Because I would think that if you trade him, he'll probably get a contract, and then he'll start balling again. And then if you don't, then you get Jahmyr Gibbs, and he's going to ball you. Right,
he's. I don't think Jamar is getting a contract this year.
I don't think he's getting it from Cincinnati, so I don't think he's getting it this year or next year.
Yeah,
I think he'll get it.
You think that tight ass franchise will actually pay him the money?
He's got one more year, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
He wants more than Justin Jefferson.
One more year after this year, so he's under contract in 25 too, right? Or is he just under contract this year? Because he's got one more year after this year.
I believe he does.
He does. Okay. So he's been complaining about his contract, like I said, since the day he was drafted into the NFL. I feel like this has been a topic for at least 3 years with Jahmyr Chase and contract situation. Teams aren't going to pay you until they have to pay you.
Earlier today, we gave our respects to James Earl Jones.
Lord Vader, the fleet has moved down to light speed and we're preparing to...
You have failed me for the last time, Admiral. Captain Piet.
Yes, my lord.
Make ready to land our troops beyond their energy field and deploy the fleet so that nothing gets off the system. You are in command now, Admiral Piet.
Thank you, Lord Vader.
Not only did he play the best villain...
If you only knew the power of the dark side, Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
No, I am your father.
Which, that's the accurate way to say that line.
Yeah.
Darth Vader, probably the best villain of all time. Who says no?
He's up there. Mount Rushmore.
I mean, brioche when it comes to villains.
Yeah.
Not only that, but I would say that Mufasa is probably one of the more impactful fathers of a Disney movie. I put him up there with like Nemo's dad.
Yeah, he's up there. Yeah.
I mean,
King of Zamunda's up there as well. One of the great movie characters.
That's another one from,
Coming to America.
Yeah, it has the Watson line. That's where
we get that from. Yeah.
Watson! Yes!
But yeah, I mean, you think about everything that James Earl Jones did, and I think the best part about James Earl Jones's career is that he was never the number one guy. He was never the lead actor in any movie.
No.
Wasn't the lead in Star Wars. Wasn't the lead in Lion King. Wasn't the lead in Coming to America. Wasn't the lead in Sandlot. Wasn't the lead in a lot of things, but like you always remembered him. Now, whether it was his voice, his kind personality, or the sub character that he played, like Mufasa's fantastic.
Dad? We're pals, right?
Right.
And we'll always be together, right?
Simba, let me tell you something that my father told me. Look at the stars. The great kings of the past look down on us from those stars.
Really?
Yes. So whenever you feel alone, just remember that those kings will always be there to guide you. And so will I.
Just an iconic man, an iconic voice, and somebody that will truly be missed, as he passed away yesterday at the age of 93. I'm sure a lot of you have your James Earl Jones moment.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I played mine earlier from Sandlot as Mr. Myrtle, the next-door neighbor, just because of the wholesome character that he is, as he was brought up to be feared and angry and devastating, and it turns out he's actually just a guy that wants to sit there and talk baseball with kids all day long and just give them whatever they want.
Yeah, he was great. Like, you're right, he was never the star of the show, but, I mean, this was a guy who was, you know, a star on Broadway. You know, he could do theater, he could do the live stage, he could do music, he could do movies, he could do anything. He was that talented. And for me, it just comes back to baseball with James Earl Jones.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, it's a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good. than it could be again. Oh, people will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
God, what a great speech. What a just a great speech in a movie by James Earl Jones. Again, not the star by far of that movie. It was clearly Timothy Busfeld.
Not Ray Liotta?
Who?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Rest in peace.
No doubt. But no, that's great to like be able to have those memories of somebody that, you know, never met him, never, you know, ever had a relationship with him, but it's always nice to do that. Also today, it's a good time to remember to be nice to people because today is World Suicide Prevention Day.
Yeah.
We do sports radio here on 96.5 The Fan. We have a lot of fun doing that. We have fun making fun of ourselves. I saw a lot of texts today. Not about suicide prevention, but where people have told us, you know, there's nothing better I love to do than get in my car and turn you guys on because I don't have to worry about anything else. I can just literally listen to you guys and do sports. Look, man, I'll be honest with you. As a kid who in middle school had one of a childhood friends of his take his own life, that's never the answer. And you can always reach out to anybody. You can ask anybody and everybody on Facebook. When I get messengers, I tend to respond to those people. When I get a tweet or a message on Twitter, I will respond to you. If you're having a tough time, reach out. We'll talk to you. We'll be here for you. We'll keep your mental strong. And there's always something else besides the ultimate solution, which is taking your own life. As today is World Suicide Prevention Day, Bob, myself, and Mac, we're all here for you to keep your head up and keep your eyes open.
Yeah, it's important, too. It's very, very important if you have something going on to reach out. There's a guy, one of our listeners that I've kind of been working with behind the scenes a little bit, and he just got a job.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I'm at Smokehouse Barbecue. He's like, I owe it all to you, man. Thank you so much for helping me out through this tough time. And so it's not shameful to ask. It's not shameful to say, hey, I need help. And sometimes you just don't know where to go because it's not easy. Believe me, me. I know it took me years to finally get to a therapist, and then my therapist is no longer around, so I've got to find a new one, and I've been trying to do that for 2 years now. So it's not easy to find that person that you can talk to. It's not easy to go out there and put yourself out there, but it is easy for us to respond. And if I get a direct message on Twitter, I'll be more than happy to respond. I'll be more than happy to help you and see if we can't walk through this thing together to make sure that everything's okay, because you will come out on the other side being just fine. Everybody goes through these rough patches. Life is hard. There's a lot of things going on in life right now that maybe a lot of us don't like. The social media aspect of life doesn't make things easy. Mm-hmm. But if you're feeling in a way and you need to reach out, by all means, do so. I mean, there's one guy on the text line I seemingly talk to every day about how many days he's been sober. When I see his text every day, that makes me smile to know that this guy's out there continuing to kick ass and make his life better. And you're never alone, guys. You just aren't. And I know sometimes it may feel like you are, but you're never alone. As long as you're listening to us, you're not alone out there. You've got somebody that can answer those questions and help you with all that.
That's why I end the show every day the way that I do. It's okay to go out there and do nice things for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. Kansas City, it is simply cool to care. Stay safe. Stay kind. And as always, I love you, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Coming up next, it's Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.